Gauteng and Fine Music Radio in Cape Town. Welcome back to the SME feature. I'm talking now to Dr. Nick Walker, the co-founder of One BioVenture Studio, about developing the African biosciences landscape. And Nick, alongside your partners, the Cape Innovation Technology Initiative, the Center for Proteomic and Genomic Research, the CPGR, you and your partner Michael Fichardt are building One Bio into an African-focused biotech business incubator. What's the ultimate aim with One Bio?
The ultimate aim is to commercialize some of that research that you mentioned earlier, that we believe in South Africa and Africa that we perform really good research. In fact, if you look at the statistics, we in South Africa produce life sciences research on a par with many developed nations. In fact, we rank about 24th in the world, which we think is pretty good. But the translation of that research into products and services that have commercial value is lacking. And that comes from a number of different factors, which we at One Bio are hoping to solve.
What are some of those factors? We touched on it earlier, as I said, perhaps not marrying the commercial nous with the R&D. You said it's that product market fit. What are some of the other gaps that you've identified at One Bio?
Well, if you look at internationally, sort of the centers for life sciences entrepreneurship, places like Boston and San Francisco, what you've got is you've got support ecosystems that are very, very strong. You've got independent lab space, and you've also got capital that understands biotech. So VCs that really get the phases, smart VC in this space. We found, we sort of hypothesized that possibly these things were lacking. Upon thorough investigation, we did find out that there was no lab space, co-working lab space in Africa. So together with our partner, as you mentioned, the Cape Innovation and Technology Initiative, we co-developed what's called BioCity Labs. Based in Cape Town, it's Africa's first co-working lab space, as far as we know. And it's a place that scientists can go in and tinker and create that first prototype that's out of a university, out of a research institute, so IP issues aren't going to be an issue. And we believe that that's one aspect. And the other aspect is this risk finance that I spoke about, which the SME Fund have been fantastic in supporting us along with the Technology Innovation Agency. And what that really allows us to do is make the type of investments that in industries or sectors that we believe are going to be strong around the biotech space. So these are things that are previously not biotech spaces, things like food, things like materials, etc. And these are things that are being invested in here in the US and in Europe due to this what we call a kind of second wave of biotechnology.
And that sort of preempts my next question, Nick. That funding deal with the TIA and the SME Fund will obviously help accelerate this because they're providing that smart risk capital that understands the biotech innovation curve.
Absolutely. I mean, without the support of SME Fund and the Technology Innovation Agency, this would be very difficult. Michael and I realized the sort of challenge that we were getting ourselves into when starting this 18 months ago. And, you know, the fact that we managed to get someone like the SME Fund and TIA on board has been fantastic. And we really do believe there's an opportunity to build an industry here and really have a positive impact on the country and the continent as a whole.
Where do you see the big opportunities? Obviously, things like CRISPR-Cas9, it's developed so rapidly. The costs of biotech seem to be getting cheaper by the minute. What are some of the big opportunities for South African entrepreneurs and some of the entrepreneurial teams that you're working with in particular?
I think that's a great question. You mentioned earlier that the drastic fall in costs of sequencing the code of life, DNA. We've seen that fall from over $100 million a genome in the early 2000s to under $1,000 today, which is really exciting. It really has sort of allowed Africa to play in the space of reading the code of life. And then CRISPR-Cas9 allows you to edit it. And then parallel converging on this has been the massive improvement in things like machine learning and the ability to crunch the data that you read from DNA samples. So not only can you read the code of life, you can actually understand it with things like machine learning. Once you can understand, you can start making the right changes with things like CRISPR. So we believe that all three of these things are converging to make biotech super exciting. And within the South African context and the African context, we believe that things around genomics are really, really exciting, specifically African genomics. So less than 2% of the world's genomic information comes from Africa. We think that needs to change. Unlocking the keys to disease, etc., come from understanding the genome. So we believe that there are big opportunities in that space in particular.
With that, obviously, comes the potential for governments to over-regulate. And I referenced that series, Unnatural Selection. I thought I'd just watch an episode over the weekend. I ended up watching the whole thing purely because of the conversation I had with Kim last week and listening to her talk about the potential and the possibility, and then watching what so-called biohackers are doing in the world trying to democratize CRISPR-Cas9. It does come with great risk, and I see the risk here, obviously, of regulators trying to clamp down on the technology. Have you seen Unnatural Selection, firstly?
I haven't watched the documentary. I'm not chatting with Michael about it today. I'm really looking forward to it this weekend. This weekend was taken up with quite a lot of rugby. but I'll be on that when I get a chance. But yeah, I mean, the regulatory side of this is very, very important. And many people would have heard of the CRISPR-Cas9 babies that were created. Essentially, what they did here in embryos in China was actually knock out the gene that allows HIV into the cells, so effectively making these children immune to HIV. While it sounds like a good idea on the surface, the technology isn't developed enough to make sure that there aren't any off-target effects or side effects that we don't yet know about from the technology. So the general sort of consensus in the scientific community is that was quite reckless, and that regulation needs to be very clear on what we can and can't do in this gene editing and genetic manipulation space, specifically in living organisms.
Yeah, press pause until there is greater consensus and greater understanding. Nick, we're going to have to invite you back on to a panel where we talk about some of these opportunities, some of these evolving technologies, maybe with Kim and a few others involved in the space and the TIA, because it is fascinating. And unfortunately, for the time we had, we really just skimmed the surface. But thanks for taking the time.
I'd love to be back, Michael. Thank you for having me.
That was the co-founder of One Bio Venture Studio, South Africa's only biotech-specific VC fund. And it's all about providing biotech startups with the funding networks and strategic assistance to take their science from benchtop to the world.
This is Classic Business with Michael Avery on Classic 102.7 in Gauteng and Fine Music Radio in Cape Town.